You are listening to BensTorah.com.
We're going to be hitting various issues that are confronting us in contemporary society and ask ourselves the question, how do we deal with all the potential problems confronting Klal Yisrael in 2021? And there are many problems. Problems that relate to the world at large, problems that relate specifically to the Jewish people. And when I look through Jewish history, there happens to be one specific Torah personality that really stands out when it comes to the approach of dealing with the facts on the moment, putting them in perspective, and then ultimately acting upon them and going forward. One of the most pivotal personalities in the Torah world over the ages was the sage, the Tana, the famous Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva, I would say to you, if you look at his history, how he started in this world, and how he became perhaps the greatest Rosh Yeshiva that ever existed in the world of halachic historical development, we find that ultimately the preservation of Torah Shebaal Peh and Torah Shebiktav, the preservation of all the midrashi halacha that exist on all Torah literature today, the Gemara tells us in many places that all of this, the survival and the transmission of Torah to the end of time, was really due to the Tana Rabbi Akiva. And the two perspectives I want to mention, and I want to dwell on one of them in a very in-depth level. When it comes to halachic accuracy, when it comes to halachic acumen, when it comes to halachic insight, having a tremendous, brilliant, analytical mind, a great debater when it comes to debating halachic accuracy and understanding, we find that Rabbi Akiva was perhaps one of the most outstanding when it came to Talmudic personalities in all of these areas. What's also interesting to note is that Rabbi Akiva himself suffered during his lifetime many different tragedies. I mean, how many people do you know had a yeshiva that contained 24,000 Talmidim, and all of a sudden, within a very short period of time, he basically lost all of those Talmidim. And it's true that many other individuals, perhaps after seeing that happen, would have basically hung up their shingle and said, well, I didn't succeed, I might as well retire from the field. But the Gemara in Yevamos tells us that that was not the approach of Rabbi Akiva. When he saw the tragedy of the death of his 24,000 Talmidim, perhaps one of the biggest yeshivas that ever existed in the world, what did this great individual do? He didn't give up. But he basically went out to search for other Talmidim that he could have as his personal Talmidim in his yeshiva to take the place of the 24,000 that died in the period between Pesach and ultimately Shuas, 33 days of death, many, many Levayos. And he found in the southern sect of Eretz Israel five Torah personalities that he had as the new Bnei Yeshiva of his wonderful yeshiva. The Gemara tells us in Yevamos their names were Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elezer ben Shemua. And the Gemara says these great Talmidim of Rabbi Kiva became also great Gedolei Hadar in all different areas. And the Gemara's expression is, Haim Haim Hamidu Torah B'Shashah. They, the five Talmidim of Rabbi Kiva in his new yeshiva, were the ones who guaranteed that the Messiah of Torah Shel Baal Peh and Torah Shel Bikzav should be transferred to the next generation and for all generations to the end of time, for eternity. And the fact is, all the Torah literature we really have today emanated from Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim. When it comes to the Mishnayis, we say Stam Mishneh Rav Meir. When it comes to the Sifra, the Medrash Halach and Sefer Vayikra, we say it goes according to the Mahalach of the Tana, his Talmud, Rabbi Yehuda. When it comes to Kabbalistic literature, Torah Sod, Rav Shimon ben Yochai comes to the fore, the author of the Zohar, of all Kabbalistic concepts of Teres HaNister. And I can go on and go on and go on. But what the Gemara ultimately tells us, that if we have today the Mechiltas and the Sifras and the Sifreis of Medrash Halacha on Kol HaTerakula, and we have the Mishnayos and ultimately the Gemaras that were built upon those specific Mishnayos, Talmud Bavli, Talmud Yerushalmi, it all was because of the incredible intellectual legacy of Torah knowledge that Rabbi Kiva gave over to his five unique Talmidim that perpetuated Torah not to not only our generation, but will continue to perpetuate Torah until the end of time. So on a Masara level of Torah, there's no question Rabbi Kiva was a very, very pivotal figure. And as a result of that, the impact he had on our learning today and our ability to penetrate the veils of Torah Shel Baal Peh, both in the areas of Nigla and the areas of Nista when it comes to Kabbalistic literature, is based upon his personal efforts and the efforts of his great Talmidim that continued his tradition and gave over the Masorah to all future generations. Now what's fascinating is that's one part of the personality of Rabbi Kiva, the grandiose, great, magnificent Rosh HaYeshiva. But by Sperai's being a Rosh HaYeshiva and a Gadol Hadar in Psak Halacha, an analysis of Halacha, there was another dimension of Rabbi Kiva which many people unfortunately don't really take into consideration on an appropriate level. And what I'm referring to very specifically are the theologies and hashkafas and ideologies that also were given over as the Mesorah by Rabbi Kiva to his Talmidim and to all the Gedolim of this generation and to all generations to come. One of the famous Mamarim of Rabbi Akiva that we find continuously mentioned in his name was that whatever happened to him, he maintained a personality of being an eternal optimist despite the tragedies that confronted him. And what he usually used to say, the Gemara Tainis tells us, Gam Zu Letova. Whatever's happening now might not look too happy, too good, but ultimately you will see at the end of the time the good that emanates from it, the good that we derive from it, and the important hashkafas we're able to develop from it in order to survive and thrive and accomplish our personal and communal mission in this world to the end of days. His eternal optimism is a personification of a statement mentioned by the Navi Habakkuk in Masechtas Makos, in which he said that at the end of time, there's one specific pasuk and Maimar Chazal that really represents the essence of the eternity of the Torah, and that is the concept of Tzadik B'menusa Yichya. Tzadikim live by the concept of their total imuna and bitachin in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They believe the Bara Alamim, who created the universe, is the ultimate master and controller of world history, Jewish history. He controls the ultimate, not only creation of the world each and every day, but the destiny of the world to the end of time. And therefore, this Rabbi Akiva personified that type of emunah. The Mishnah says in Barachas, Kishem Shemavarchan al-Tav, Mavarchan al-Hara, the same way you thank Hashem for the good things, and you say Hatov Ametiv. You also have to thank Hashem for the bad things and say Dayan Emes, because at the end, everything has a cheshbon, everything has a purpose, everything, ultimately speaking, has a specific yisod to teach us, to direct us, and a way to deal with situations that confront us. And ultimately, if you see them from the right perspective, you'll be able to see that everything that happens, ultimately, in retrospect, is for the good. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva continued his Habatzas HaTorah, got 5 new Talmidim, and even though there was a terrible tragedy of losing his Talmidim didn't leave this world because of just such a sinister plan, they unfortunately, as the Gemara tells us, for whatever reason, which might be incomprehensible, it says, Lo nagu kavod zeh bezeh. They didn't give the proper respect to their fellow Talmidim that they were matched up with to be Chavrusah, Shlo nagu kavod zeh bezeh, which caused their ultimate destruction between the period of Pesach and Shavuos. Hashem felt they were not worthy enough by the fact that their Derech Eretz was not Kadmo l'Torah. Chazal say you have to have Derech Eretz preceding your godless in Torah and your understanding, comprehension, and Mesara HaTorah. Derech Eretz Kadmo l'Torah. My Rebbe of Salvation, Chazal, used to say often over and over again that the Bris Avos and the Bris Sinai represent two major Hashkafas HaTorah. When it comes to the Bris Avos, it was the Bris of Derech Eretz. The concept of Chesed, Tzedakah, Avos Abrios, the concept of Yashris, look how the Avos interacted with all types of personalities in society, even with Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Didn't Avram pray for the salvation of Sodom and Gomorrah, that maybe they can be rehabilitated and brought back to the belief in Hashem and be able to develop Midas Tevis rather than the Midas Ras, which are described on the Anshei Sodom? Maybe their tzaddikim and their people living in these cities that will be bali hashpa upon them. Avram didn't give up. Yitzchak didn't give up. Yaakov didn't give up. They were noyed kavod to the other individuals that lived in society at their time. They were balei derech eretz, Yesharim, as the Netziv says, and that was the bris of Derech Eretz. The bris of Torah becoming Am Yisrael, Klal Yisrael, being sanctified as Klal Yisrael, and the ultimate Kabbalah of Kol HaTorah Kula, both in learning it and practicing it, was the bris of Har Sinai, the bris of Torah. So Soloveitchik makes a very interesting Ha'ara. The bris of the Avos came first, the bris of Torah Har Sinai came later. What's the reason? To teach us the bris of the Avos, which is the bris of Derech Eretz, was the prerequisite for the choice of the Avos Limos to become the progenitors of the Am HaNivchar. And once they created a nation that had the potential to be incredible Balei Derech Eretz, Balei Kavod, at that juncture, with their Avos Abrios, Hashem gave them the schus to come to Am HaNivchar, to accept the Torah in Har Sinai and get the bris of Torah. You can't have a greater proof that Derech Eretz Kadmil LaTaira. That is the prerequisite. And therefore, Rav Aaron Kotler Zazal says, if that's the case, you need a Keli Shalem to be able to be Moser Torah through it. It has to be full of Derech Eretz, besides Chachmas HaTorah. And since the Talmidim Rabbi Kiva, Rav Aaron Kotler Zazal says, we're not knowing you covered Zeh B'Zeh, for whatever reason, the Derech Eretz was not Kadma LaTorah, and therefore they had to be, unfortunately, taken to the next world. And Rabbi Kiva had to get a group of Talmidim, new Talmidim, where their Derech Eretz was Kadma LaTorah, for the Masorah of Torah to take place. Very, very famous piece of Rav Aaron Kotler Zatzal in his beautiful Sfarim that he wrote on Shas and Poskim. This is his legacy and interpretation. And that's why he points out, we have a minig in Klal Yisrael, between Pesach and Shavuos, that one of the limudim we undertake during this period of time is to learn Pirkei Avos, between the Yom Tov of Pesach to the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Yom Tov of Shavuos, the Zman of Kabbalah HaTorah. Why do we learn Pirkei Avos? To emphasize that the Torah we're going to be mekabel on the Yom Tov Shavuos has to be preceded with Derech Eretz, and there's no Mesechta in Shas that is more dedicated in teaching us the Midas Tovos, or what it means to be dedicated to Derech Eretz and to cover Habrios, than the actual Mesechta of Pirkei Avos. You look there, you see the Hashkafas HaTorah of Gedolei Hadar, but they all have one common denominator. It's the Mesechta that specializes in teaching us from all these Mamori Chazal what's the ultimate form of Derech Eretz when it comes to our learning Torah and disseminating Torah and becoming a Torah personality. We find, and you can look it up yourself, Talmidas, or Talmidim, that there is a sixth chapter that was added to Pirkei Avos, which we learn as part of the sixth parakim in those weeks between Pesach and Shavuos. This last parak, parak shishi, was added on, and it starts Shanu Chachamim Balashin Hamishna Baruch Shabach Abhem Ubimishnasan, and the Gadol, who quite obviously is prefaced with this specific sefer, writing the sixth parak of Pirkei Avos, is none other than the great Talmud Muvot of Rabbi Kiva, Rav Meir. And when Rav Meir talks about Torah, you see the emphasis of the Hashkafa of Avas Abrios. The Hashkafa of Rabbi Kiva, Klal Gadol Shebetera, is V'yahavta L'Reicha Kamocha, where Rav Meir says, Kol Osik B'Tera L'Shma, he really learning Torah for the right reasons. What has to be the personality? Kol olam kulam kedai hulo. The person that learns and teaches Torah has to be a friend, ahuv, somebody who's beloved, oyeves amakam, a lover of God, oyeves abrios, a lover of human beings. Misameach amakam makes Hashem happy with their deeds. Misameach abrios makes human beings happy with their deeds. The person who's learning Torah has to have anava, humility, and yira, and fear. He has to have the kishronos to become a tzaddik, a chassid, a yashar, a neman, a person who distances chet, a person who wants to have zuchusim, a person you can go to and you can have from them etzos and tushia, bina, a person who literally, you can feel a kingship in their leadership. A person who Hashem, because of their incredible Torah personality, Hashem then allows that bris of Derech Eretz they have, to have a bris of Torah. And therefore, they have Chika Hadin. Megala Raze Atar, Hashem gives them the secrets of the Torah. They become a Mayan Hames Gaber, an incredible well, surging with water, Kenoshul HaPosek. But at the same time, they become Gedolim, and Amar B'tz Teru, their Midas Tavos don't diminish. They still are Tsunuim, they're humble, Erchurach, they have a nice temperament, Mochad al Abono, they forgive others who might insult them. Migadal to Maramto Akamasim, when you look upon what a real Torah leader is, and you see their Derech Eretz, you understand why Hashem made them a Torah leader, made them a Torah personality, gave them the capacity to mashpi upon so many people. The Bris Derech Eretz was Kedem, the Bris of Torah, and that's Rabbi Kiva's Hashkafa, that the Klal Gadol Shebetera is V'yahavta L'Reicha Kamocha, and also another concept, Chavav Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem Elokim, realize we're created the image of God, and as a result we have to conduct ourselves like a godly individual. Halachta B'Derachav, follow Hashem's divine footsteps as they are anthropomorphically depicted in the Psukim of Tanakh and the Mamorah Chazal we learn about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This was an important part of Rabbi Kiva's personality and Hashkafa. And that's why he was zochah to these five great Talmidim that perpetuated his Torah. But what I want to share with you today is the insight of being the eternal optimist, the Gamzu Latova personality. Chazal tell us that he himself witnessed the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash. He then witnessed the Churban later on of Beitar, the terrible tragedy that took place over there, the terrible destruction that ensued. He witnessed it, he saw it, he experienced it. The Mashiach, they thought that perhaps Bar Kochba was, ended up being an imposter. And there was tremendous tzaras, tremendous pain, tremendous anguish that Klal Yisrael suffered. Lemeisei Beitar were not buried immediately. The yeshivas and Torah learning were under tremendous gezeiros from the Roman Empire. And despite that, Rabbi Akiva did not give up hope. Rabbi Akiva was the bastion of ultimate, incredible capacities of eternal imuna in bitachon, tzaddik benusa yichya, and his internal optimism was a form of consolation for the people of his generations and generations to come. The Gemara Makos tells us that when Churban Bayis Sheni took place, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Shua, made a visit to Har HaBayis to see the Churban. And they talk Kriya when they came close. All the other Chachamim that were there, the Gemara says, the Makos started to cry. Look at the Churban. Look at the terrible scenes that we see. A Mokam Kadosh with Hashem Shechina, upon which the Torah says, Hazah HaKarav Yomus, nobody who is unauthorized could go in such a Mokam HaKadosh. It was a magnificent, beautiful edifice, the Beis HaMikdash, that was the most incredible architectural building in the entire world, as the Gemara describes in Masechta Sukkah. And the Chachamim cried and said, but look at it now. It's destroyed. It's been pulverized. Look at the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Shulam Hilchubo. Foxes and other wild creatures are going in, going out, desecrating that location. And they cried and they cried, because they couldn't believe what they saw. But the Gemara tells us Rabbi Akiva did not cry with them. He might have talked Kriya with them, because that's the halacha when you see such a tragedy. But he was metzachek, he had a smile on his face. And when his fellow Tanoim, Gedolei Hadar, saw him, they said to him, what's going on, Rabbi Akiva? How can you have a smile? Why aren't you crying? So he says, because there is an Edus, a prophecy mentioned by Yeshaya Hanavi, where he says, Aida lahem edim ne'amonim, that Hashem is going to give us incredible testimonies of prophets who are going to give testimony. Uriah HaKoyen of the first Beis HaMikdash, Zechariah ben Yevchariahu of the second Beis HaMikdash, both who were prophets. And Rabbi Akiva said the fact Yeshaya put their prophecies together had to have a reason. And he asked the question, what is Uriah's Nevuah concerning Churban, where it says, Begalalchem, Tzion Sada Techoresh, because of the sins of the Jewish people, the Beis HaMikdash will not only be destroyed and dysfunctional, but it will be plowed asunder. What does that have to do with the Nevuah of Zechariah, which talks about Od Yeshvu Zekeinim Uzekeinos Berechovos Yerushalayim? There'll come a time in the future that men and women who are Jews and Jewesses will sit in the parks of Yerushalayim. Ish Mishanta Biyodai Mirav Yomim. They're going to have to walk with walking sticks. That's how old they're going to be. Urechovos Seir Yamalu Yaladim V'Yaladosu Mesach Rechovos Seir. and boys and girls, children will be playing in the parks.
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Why did Yeshaya Hanavi combine the Nevuah of Churban, of Uriah HaKohen, and the Nevuah of Geula, mentioned by Zechariah HaNavi? So Rabbi Kiva says, there is a message over here, that when I saw the Nevuah of Uriah and the destruction of the temple taking place, that reassured me that the Nevuah of Geula and redemption of Zechariah will likewise take place. All hope is not lost. The future of Klal Yisrael is not one of pessimism. It's one of hope, prayer, emun and bitachin, and ultimate eternal optimism. And therefore, if the Nevuah of Uriah took place, the Nevuah of Zechariah of Geula will likewise take place. And when Rabbi Kiva said this to his great, great Rabbeim and Chaverim at their visit, they said to Rabbi Kiva, Nechamkanu, Akiva, Nechamkanu. You have given us consolation. You have given us hope. You have given us a way to perceive what's happening and allow us the ability to deal with it on an intellectual plane, give it perspective, and be able to figure out how to deal with it on such a level that what we think is ultimately bad will turn out to be the good in the ultimate future of Klal Yisrael. Now, what is the meaning of this statement of Rabbi Kiva? That once he saw the level of Churban, he realized the leaven of redemption. So the great Beis HaLevi, Yosef Dov HaLevi Saleveitchik, one of the Rosh Yeshivas of the Volozhiny Yeshiva towards the end, the founder of the Briska dynasty, he was a Saleveitchik, his son was Rav Chaim of Brisk, and he said, you know what this Maamar Chazal means? Let me give you the pshat. What in the world is the connection between the Churban Nevuah of Uriah HaKohen and the Geula concept mentioned by Zechariah? So he points out there is a Peladika Gemara, and in fact, later on, the Maamar and the Yesod is quoted by none other than the great Ramban in his Pirush and Chumash. And what the Ramban says at Bichulkosai, where the Pasuk describing Churban in Sefer Vayikra says, Hashimosi ani yesa'aretz, when it comes to Golus because of your sins, by Yisrishon, by Yisheni, the land will become desolate. And not only the land desolate, but the Beis HaMikdash will both be destroyed. By Yisrishon, by Yisheni. V'shomol ha'avecha yishvim ba. And any of your adversaries who caused the destruction will find the land desolate for them as well. So the Ramban B'chukosai says on this pasuk that you should start crying upon, that this pasuk is a besura teiva. Bevaseres b'chol ha'golios. It tells us the story. Ein atzelu mekabelas es oyevenu. Even if we have to go have a punishment to go into Golos and forsake the land, the Shmama will be not only for us of Eretz Israel, but the land of Israel will not have any nation on the face of this earth be able to enjoy residency in Eretz Israel, either during our time of Golos. The land will not mekabel our adversaries to live there and make it into their homeland. Says the Ramban, this is a Raya Gadol, a proof, and a Haftocha, that because Hashem did this, Kimiyaz Yotzu Mimenu, that the time we left Eretz Israel and Golas, Lo Kibla Uma Velashon, no nation who tried to resettle it succeeded. The Romans failed. The Turks failed. The Arabs failed. Hula Bishtadl and Mahoshiva, they tried to resettle the land and make it fertile again. And Eretz Zavas Chalavu Davash, Ve'ein Le'el Yodon, but they can't do it. Why can't they do it? Because God said He's not going to allow them to do it. Says the Beis Halevi, what is the pshat of this Maimer Chazal? So he says the following. What in fact Chazal are teaching us with this specific statement is the following Hashkafa. And that is the Rabbanu Shalom promised in the Brisbane of Asarim, Klal Yisrael Arbil will be indestructible. They'll never be destroyed by their enemies forever. They will live by laws that surpass natural law. They might have bad times in Golos and good times in Geula. But the land of Eretzrael is being given to them for eternity. And I guarantee that the land will never ever be ever permanently taken away from them. How does Hashem do this? By making the land, the Beis Halevi says, uninhabitable for any other nation on the face of this earth. So they can't establish their melucha, their kingdom there. They can't feel that they can take this piece of land that belonged to the Jews and make it a part of their empire and be proud of it and build there and agriculturally develop it and make it a valuable piece of real estate for them. It will be worthless. It will be desolate until the Jews return at the end of time. When God wants us to return and give us redemption and allow us to rebuild the land and have all the brachas mentioned in the Torah, especially in Sefer Devarim, of Eretz being an Eretz of Aschalavu Davash, an Eretz Loisechsa Kobo, a land that's not missing any resources, it has it all there, that Hashem reserves that bracha for us. And when Rabbi Kiva saw how the Goyim destroyed not only the land when they wanted to capture us during the time of the Babylonian destruction and more importantly the Roman Empire destruction, and they took the most beautiful building on the face of this earth, the Beis HaMikdash, and instead of logically making it into a pagan temple, they burnt it to the ground. They destroyed it. They plowed it asunder. Rabbi Kiva saw the fulfillment of this pasuk in Vayikra b'chukosai being fulfilled. Hashim osi ani esa aretz v'sham alei vecha yoshvim ba. They with their own hands, the Goyim, killed Rachmana Litzlan, our Jewish brethren, destroyed our temple, did not make it into an idolatrous temple, made the land a place that could not be populated anymore, could not agriculturally develop even though they might have tried, could not settle the land. The Golas for us of Eretzrael and its desolation ended up being a Golas and desolation for the non-Jews, our adversaries as well. So says, therefore, Rabbi Kiva to his fellow Tanoim, once I saw the level of desolation that even the Romans caused, look what they did to the Beis HaMikdash, Why did they do this? Because God put it into their head to do it, to make the land and the Mikdash unusable for them. Hashem wanted to reserve the Makom HaMikdash and the land of Israel in desolation for the Jewish people's geula of the future, for our redemption. So if that's the case, the level of Churban, of Eretz Israel and the Makom HaMikdash, is a harbinger of the geula of the Jews of the future, and that's why Yeshaya combined the Churban level of destruction of Uri HaKoyen with the geula redemption mentioned by Zechariah. And Akira Giva said, this Makom HaMikdash will be rebuilt again. There will be a Bayis HaShlishi. Klal Yisrael will return to it in the future. And once again it will be an Eretz of Ascha Lava Davash. Hashem will once again in the future bless Klal Yisrael with all the brachas of the Torah, the proof of Arichas Yamin V'Shar Shanim, for our Zekenim Zekenos, as the Pasuk says in Zechariah. The boys and girls will be born to our future members of Klal Yisrael. They'll fill Eretz Israel, fill the parks with Simcha Shel Mitzvah, with the Simcha living in Avira Eretz Israel. So Rabbi Kiva says, on the spot, momentarily it said, I talk Kriya like you, but I'm not a pessimist. I'm an eternal optimist. And I see the Yad Hashem working all of this behind the scenes. And therefore I see a bright future in the future with the ultimate return of Klal Yisrael with the Gula HaShlishi, Kibbutz Golios, the rebuilding of Eretz Israel on all levels, not only in Gashmias, but in Ruchnias, become the Merkaz HaTorah of Kol HaOlam, of the entire world, Ki Mitzion Tetzei Torah, U'Devah HaShem Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael be an Or LaGoyim, not only when it comes to religious concepts and Hashkafa, but as the Chasam Sofer says, all the modern technology and sciences and medicine and chokhmah that's needed for the preservation of human society will come from the Jews who have returned for the beginning of Bayis Shlishi with Kibbutz Golios. They will be the ones, or the Goyim, to teach the Goyim this information as well. Everybody will want to come to visit, to be there, to see this Makom. Yeshaya prophesizes one day the Beis HaMikdash will be a Beis Tefillah L'Chol HaAmim, a house of prayer for all the nations on the face of the earth. You're going to see incredible redemption. You're going to see incredible rebuilding. You're going to see incredible phenomenon taking place in our Tzeinu HaKedosha, in our beloved Eretz Yisrael. You're going to see incredible wonders taking place. Chazal say the miracles of the ultimate Kibbutz Golios and the end of days will outpace the miracles of even Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf. There's a whole Maimer Chazal and Baruches about it, about the greatness of the ultimate miracles of the end of time, of the ultimate redemption. And the key of all the promises made to the Yavos in the Bris Bein Abesarim, which are eternal promises. Yisha'omdo la'vaseinu, she'v'chol dar v'dar oindam aleinu l'chalaseinu v'hakadosh baruch hu matzilenu bi'adam. The Jews will always go forth and survive. And Hashem made this promise, and world history has demonstrated the efficacy of this promise. Whether our ultimate redemption will be a gula of spiritual merit, gula shezachu, or one that perhaps lacks our spiritual merit, but it has to take place because God said that I'm going to redeem you, even for the purposes of causing a Kiddush Shem Shemayim, that when I make a promise, I keep my promises to my Am HaNivchar. Lamaniya, says the Pasuk, says in Sefer Yecheskel. The Rabbeinu Shalom says, I will make sure the promises are fulfilled, and you will return, and there will be once again a rebirth of the Eretz Zavas Chalav Udavash. In fact, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin Daf Tzadiches, the Simen Muvuk of our return is when we see Ein Locha Keitz Megula Mizeh, when you see the Hari Eretzrael, its trees giving forth incredible fruit, and the ground giving forth all of its vegetables and crops as well. Rashi says, when you see this happening, this means the Keitz is near. Ein Locha Keitz Megula Yosim Mizeh. We've seen that happen in Eretz Israel, flourishing of the land agriculturally, the flourishing of Eretz Israel on a technological level. It's one of the most advanced technological societies on the face of this earth. All the greatest technological companies realize the chachma of the Jews, and they have major factories and binyanim in Eretz Israel to use us as a source of their knowledge and chachma to make technology work for the world at large. But when it comes to Habatzis HaTorah, look at a mere yeshiva, the biggest yeshiva in the world. Look at all the other yeshivas. Look at all the seminaries for women. Rabbi Berlwein said, there's never been in Jewish history so much Torah being learned in so many moslas of Torah in Eretz Israel at one time. The population of Eretz Israel is growing, and the fastest growing part of the population are the Torah observing Jews, the Haredi part of the population. In a couple of years, they'll be the majority population in Eretz Israel. We are heading in a positive direction. You can already see the parks where Zakenim and Zakenos are living out their days, walking with their walking sticks. And the parks where you have little children playing in the parks, singing and dancing and playing. The Nevuah of Zechariah Hanavi can be seen tangibly when you visit Eretz Israel. When you think of all of this, you therefore realize that what Rabbi Kiva said to his fellow Tanoim and Makos, that the Nevuahs of Uriah Kayan and of Zechariah are interrelated and connected. They depict the ultimate future of Klal Yisrael and Eretz Israel, an ultimate redemption. He was the eternal optimist, and he expressed that optimism then. Chazal tell us that is why after Churban Beitar, you have the famous story, and we'll end with this in the Haggadah, of Maisa b'Rebbe Lezer, Rebbe Yeshua, Rebbe Lezer ben Azariah, Rebbe Kiva, Rebbe Tarfin, Shoyim Asubim b'Nei Brach, Vayim Esapim, B'Tzias Mitzrayim, Kol Oysa HaLayla, Achabo, Tamideyim, V'Armu Lahem Rabbo Seinu, Why is this brought in the Haggadah? It's not only brought to show you that if you're a great Chacham, you have to elaborate on Yetzias Mitzrayim because HaRezeh Meshubach. But the Baal Haggadah tells us another major Yesod, brought down by the Arech HaShulchan in his parish to the Haggadah. You had at this Seder in Bnei Brak, Rabbi Kiva the Mara D'Asra, not only his fellow Chaverim, his Rabbeim. And historically this took place, this Seder, after the destruction of Beitar. People were desperate. People were literally despondent. People were tzabrachin. And the Gedolei Hadar, who always got Nechama from Rabbi Kiva came to spend the Seder of that Pesach after Churban Beita with him. And Rabbi Kiva encaptured their minds the entire night, and they were besapir in all the miracles and messages of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Kol Oso Laila. In the morning, the Talmidim said, Kriya Shema is about to take place, and they were mafsik. It's interesting that they mention Kriya Shema, because there's one more Gemara I want to mention before I finish my shir this morning. And that is, there's another place where Kriya Shema is mentioned by Chazal. And that is when Rabbi Kiva underwent martyrdom in Masechtas Brachos, as is described. The Rabbi Kiva said he wanted to live a life of Kiddush Hashem and show Rabbanu Shalom the amount of Ava he had for him, to willing to even give his life for the sake of Kiddush Hashem. B'chol levavecha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol miyodecha. And the last thing that Rabbi Kiva said as they were torturing him to death was he recited the pasuk Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The same thing that Rabbi Kiva recited after the Seder that night in the morning. What is the message of that pasuk? So the Beis Halevi says, Rabbi Kiva told his fellow Tanoim on the night of Pesach going into the morning, when they were about to recite Kriya Shema. And he also said to them when it came to the Yesod and concept of his death, Klal Yisrael realize now, Hashem Elokeinu, we realize who the real God is in this world, and who God is and his powers, his omniscience, his omnipotence, his promises. But he's now Hashem Elokeinu, the God of Israel. But there'll come a time, Hashem Echa, that the whole world will realize the Malchus Shakai of Hashem, as we say in Oleinu, in the second paragraph. The whole world will recognize who the Rabbanu Shalom is. Hashem Echa, he's the only God. The only God to worship. The only God to pray to. The base of Midrash will be the base tefillah of the Chol HaAmim. That's the only place everybody in the world is going to go to pray when it comes to devout prayer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the end of days. Rabbi Kiva ended off his life and ended off the Seder with a statement of supreme eternal optimism. Don't despair. Don't become broken based upon the events taking place around us. Hashem made us promises. Klal Yisrael will be chayv yakayam to the end of time. And we'll see an ultimate redemption, which we're already seeing the ikfas of Mashiach now, as the Chafetz Chaim proclaimed in his Sfarim. The Gula process was in process. And it's still in process. And we see it happening before our eyes. When it came to the ultimate giving over of the land of Palestine to the Jews of the UN, and we fought the war at that time to defend ourselves against the Arab world who wanted to destroy us for executing the promise of the UN to have a Jewish homeland. When the war was over and the Jews won that war and the Arabs begged us for an armistice, the world Jewry realized the Yad Hashem that was over here. Agudas Yisrael themselves in their book of Jewish history by Friedison said, witnessing these events, they said, Me'eis Hashem ho'yasazos, hineflos beinenu, they recited the pasuk we recite in Hallel. This is all the Yad, the miracles of Hashem, bringing us back to our homeland, to begin the preparation for Bayis Shlishi, which we're now in the process of trying to get in order. The new kelim for the Mikdash have already been created and are ready and waiting. The big day kahuna for the kohanim, for many of them, have already been measured and put away for the ultimate redemption. There are kolim all around Eretz Yisrael learning kachim, as the Chafetz Chaim said, because it could be that the Beis Hamikdash and the Mashiach will come and will be built immediately, and we need Talmidei Chachamim to know the halachas of Karbanos, halacha l'maisa. And therefore he wrote Sfarim on halacha l'maisa on Karbanos, that we should study them and be proficient in these halachas. We're witnessing the beginning of a Gula process. We shouldn't be concerned who are the heads of state of the various countries, including America. The only entity we have to be concerned about is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bichvod Debiatzmo. He's the Melech, Malchei HaMalachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's the Hashem Echad. This was the message of Rabbi Kiva, the greatest legacy he left us, besides his legacy of Torah and erudition, that a Jew has to be an eternal optimist. Sadik b'menusa yechye, gamzu l'tova. That's the message I want to leave with you today. Don't give up hope. Maintain your emunah and bitachem and realize that the gula is around the corner. Let us hope and pray that this internal optimism of Rabbi Kiva will impact upon us all, and that we should be zoche l'shana hazu. We should be zoche for the ultimate geula, with Bias Mashiach Tzidkenu and Binyan Habayis and Kibbutz Galios, with all the brachas and promises made in the Torah. B'mheiru b'meinu amen v'amen.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.